Back in the 1970s, psychedelic mushrooms were federally banned, along with a whole host of other hallucinogens. Now a growing movement wants access to this fungi for medicinal use. Harvest Public Media's Esther Honig reports that mushroom enthusiasts are seeking the freedom to take them without fear of criminal prosecution.
Euphoria, hallucinations, seeing God are all side effects of psilocybin mushrooms, which people consume sometimes in a tea, as a chocolate, or in tiny doses, also called microdosing. And these mushrooms grow all over the world.
These right here, I picked like 3 days ago.
Like here, in this closet in a Denver apartment. Douglas, who didn't want to use his full name for fear of federal prosecution, holds a handful of mushrooms that he grows and sells illegally.
Mushrooms are really easygoing, especially psilocybin. You know, they kind of just grow themselves, and like this is a relatively quiet thing to do.
With his DIY setup of glass jars, large plastic bins, and a pressure cooker, Douglas can grow up to $1,000 of mushrooms per month. He learned how on the internet. Companies will even ship mushroom spores in the mail, which is legal since they don't contain psilocybin.
If you just want to start small, investment super low, you could throw $80 at it and have like an ounce to yourself.
But doing so could land you in prison, which is why a ballot measure in Denver's upcoming election asks voters to decriminalize mushrooms. Adults 21 or older who are caught with it or even growing the fungi for themselves would be a low priority for local police.
With decriminalization and stuff, I can operate a little bit more freely, have to worry less.
And it's not just Denver. A Republican lawmaker in Iowa recently proposed removing psilocybin from the state's list of controlled substances. And in Oregon, a campaign hopes to legalize it for medical use in approved clinics.
This isn't the stuff that states have any infrastructure to deal with.
Matthew Johnson has spent the last 15 years researching psychedelics at Johns Hopkins University. He says research shows this drug is not addictive, causes fewer ER visits compared to other illegal drugs, and could be used to treat a whole host of ailments, like depression. But he doesn't support increasing access in the same way some states have loosened up laws around cannabis.
You know, there are substantial risks involved with this therapy, and it needs to be done by appropriately trained and credentialed medical and psychological professionals.
Under the influence of psilocybin, people can panic and put themselves in danger. There have been fatalities.
I would hope that Denver would be very clear about, yes, there are risks, and these are the risks. There are harms that can come from this. This isn't encouragement to use.
In as little as 5 years, Johnson believes research on psilocybin will lead to the first FDA-approved medication, at which point the federal government will have to stop treating it like a dangerous drug. But until then...
Any controlled substance is a concern. It's obviously on a Schedule 1 for a reason.
Deanne Reuter is with the DEA office in Denver and says they'll continue prosecuting psilocybin cases, even though they don't see that many.
The trafficking of psilocybin seems to be like a small niche kind of community.
Like Douglas, who says he doesn't have a lot of competition and knows most of the people he sells to. And even though the Denver ballot measure wouldn't protect a dealer like him, he wants to grow more.
I'd say half of it is supplementary income, whereas the other half is like, I want to create something that people can benefit from.
He says anything that breaks down the stigma around mushrooms will be good for business. Esther Honig, Harvest Public Media.